Do you ever feel too far gone to be fully redeemed, as though your sins are too great to be undone? Keep listening to Bold Steps.
God can take the darkest of sins, no matter where you've been or how long you've been there. God has the power to wash your slate clean. That's the way God works. There is no one here beyond God's power to change. No one.
So glad you've joined us. This is Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, the president of the Moody Bible Institute and senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Well, today, part two of Mark's message, Denial in the Heart. If you missed part one, it's available at boldstepsradio.org. But let's get to today's message, talking about the effects of sin, hidden sin in our life. Here's Mark Jobe with Bold Steps.
There's two things that the enemy uses very skillfully against us to drag us into sin. One is fear, the other is deception. Fear is the opposite of faith. Decisions that are made out of fear are usually wrong decisions. And oftentimes it's not until some major crisis or some other people around me wake me up and realize I have been in denial. Because sin is deceitful. You say, yeah, Pastor, tell them that drug is bad. Hey, every compulsive addictive behavior, even the benign ones that don't fall under the drug category, the same thing. It deceives us. The third thing that we underestimate and I see in David's life is that we should never underestimate the snowball effect of hidden sin. Never underestimate it. You see, somehow we think that we can keep things under control a bit. And I want you to see what happened with David. And I've described to you what happened earlier. But so David goes out. He sees a woman. At any time in this process, he could have stopped. He sees a woman. You say, well, he couldn't control that he saw a woman. I mean, she was there. She wasn't, she wasn't covered. I mean, it's not his fault. It's not his fault that he saw her, but you can always control the second look. Hello? What flashes through your mind is one thing. What you choose to dwell on is another thing. And so the fact that he saw her wasn't the problem. The fact that he gazed and gazed again. The fact that he gazed, and when he found out that she was a married woman, he still pursued her and asked her to come up. And maybe in his mind he thought, well, nothing's going to happen. I'm just going to have a conversation with her, because our mind works that way. It deceives us. In the back of his mind, he knew. And when she came up and began to talk and dialogue, they didn't go from talk straight to the bed. They dialogued and flirted and complimented each other and seduced one another. So next thing you know, they're in bed together. Now, any one of those times, they could have stopped. They could have said no. David was a married man. She was a married woman. They could have said no at any moment, but they did not stop the process. He sent her home. Maybe in his mind afterwards, he felt a little guilty and thought, wow, how did I let that happen? Bad chapter, let's move on. Maybe it won't happen again. It's never that easy. He gets a message, a private, secret message. I'm pregnant. Ah, this complicates the issues a little bit. It always is more complicated, by the way. And so now David begins to conceive in his mind, because here's what happens. It's a snowball effect of sin. It starts as a little thing, but as it rolls down the mountain of our life, it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger, and it consumes more and more in our life. So David thinks, aha, I'm a smart man. I've got to solve this problem. Where is her husband? He's at the front lines. David sends a message. Bring Uriah the Hittite home. He brings Uriah the Hittite home under the disguise that he wants to find out how the battle is going. He meets with Uriah, talks with Uriah. Then he puts his arm around Uriah and says, Uriah, it's been a tough battle. You've been gone from home a long time. Your beautiful, lovely wife is waiting for you. Go home, see her, have a good time before you go back to the battle. Uriah is an honorable man, a man of war, a true soldier. And he says to himself, how can I go sleep with my wife in a nice cozy bed when my men and my platoon is out there sleeping in tents on the floor? I will not do that. So he sleeps on the floor near the palace entrance. Plan B. David brings him up again the next day and says, Uriah, come with me. Stay another day. Hey, I have some good vintage wine that I want to treat you to. You've been battling hard. Have another cup. Have another cup. The king gets Uriah drunk, thinking to himself, a drunk man has low resistance. I will get him drunk and then send him to his wife. That plan will work. And when Uriah is nice and drunk, through the manipulation of King David, the writer of the Psalms, the author of Scripture, the lineage of Jesus, then he sends him home. Go to your wife. She waits for you. Uriah is still honorable. He says, even in his drunken stupor, I will not go, and sleeps at the palace entrance on the floor as well. Plan C. David is frustrated by now. This guy's not doing what he should be doing. I can't even get him to sleep with his wife. So now he has a plan C. He writes a letter, and he says, Uriah, take this to Joab, the commander of the army. In the letter, little did Uriah know that in this letter was the execution instructions for Uriah. And because what King David wrote to Joab, he said, I want you to take Uriah all the way up to the enemy wall. That's where the archers are. That's where bricks are thrown. That's where boiling oil is thrown down. And people die by the hundreds near the wall of the city. So he says, I want you to take him all the way up to the wall. And then when you get up there, I want the troops to withdraw and leave Uriah up there. And sure enough, that's what happened. And Uriah is killed. Aha! The grieving widow is married by the valiant, handsome king who rescues her, marries her. Now, it's about a year later. The baby's been born, maybe a couple of months. David, I think, is thinking, I got away with it. I mean, the engine light was flashing, but I ignored it. I guess it sometimes it works out okay. The funeral's been done. It's a year later. He thinks, I've escaped. Life goes on. Let me move on to the next thing. But he can't get away. Oh, you can never get away from that still small voice inside of you that says, wrong. I think every time he looked at that baby, he was reminded, you know what? This was wrong. I think when he looked at Bathsheba into her eyes, he was reminded this was Uriah's wife. I think when he went to worship at the temple and to pin a psalm or raise his hands or sing a song, I think in his mind he thought there's undealt with issues. But we become very good at silencing the voices. Oh, you've done it, right? Oh, you've had that conviction inside that you silenced. You've squelched a voice. You've said, no, I'm not going to listen. You've hardened your heart. Because if we drown out the voice hard enough, long enough, we can stop hearing it, stop seeing it. The Bible calls it the hardness of the heart.
You're listening to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, and we will continue in a minute. Remember, you can always find these messages and share them with a friend by going online to boldstepsradio.org. And while you're there, make sure you've signed up for Mark Jobe's weekly email devotional, The Bold Stepper Weekly. What do you think, Mark?
Absolutely. Bright and early on Monday morning, we send these out. And it's meant to be an encouragement, a devotional thought, an update. And so I hope you sign up. Again, it's free, no obligation. You know, every day here at Bold Steps, we receive prayer requests
like these from our listeners. And here someone wrote in and said, "Our son needs the walls to come down and blinders off his eyes and ears to open to God for a breakthrough in his relationship with God. He needs to fully surrender his life to Jesus as Lord. Please pray for me that God would give me a clean heart. Please pray for our son who's dealing with sexual identity and addictions." And we're going to pray right now. And I want to encourage you, it is difficult when we're battling for someone else, but I believe that we have the power to break those addictions in our life. In fact, at Bold Steps, we like to say the heart behind our message is everybody has a cycle to break, a bold step to take, and a legacy to make. And I'm going to pray for you and your son to be able to break those cycles in your life. Father, I pray for this parent who is burdened to have a clean heart before you. And I pray, Father, that Psalms 51, that when we come to you and ask for a clean heart, that you give us a clean heart and you give us fresh joy. I pray for this son who is in the grip of sexual identity issues and sexual addiction, Father. I pray that somehow, some way, you will break through, Father, through a friend, through a message, through a life experience, through something that awakens him to your love, your grace, his true calling, and his true identity, Father. We pray for this son, God. We pray for whatever is driving him to that addiction, God, that you would heal that wound, that you will deal with the root of it, Father, and that we will hear this son one day give a testimony to your liberating power. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mark. All of us at one time or another struggle with things in our lives. Helping you take difficult and courageous steps of obedience back to God is a reason why Bold Steps exists and the heart behind our motto. A cycle to break, a bold step to take, a legacy to make. So let us pray for you. Email our team at boldsteps@moody.edu or simply respond through the links on our Bold Stepper Weekly. Join our growing family of listeners who receive the Bold Stepper Weekly today by visiting our website, boldstepsradio.org. Now, let's get back to the final part of our message about denial in the heart. Here's Mark Job.
So one day, as David is going about his business, the baby's there, he has his new wife, things seem like everything has gone okay, we're moving on to the next chapter, he gets a call, and there's someone that wants to see David urgently. Who is it? It's Nathan the prophet. He's a man of God. He's talked to David different times. He says, "David, I need to see you. There's an injustice that has happened in the land." He comes before David. Nathan the prophet says, "I have to tell you a story. There was a man that had a lot of sheep, a lot of flocks, and visitors were coming into town. And instead of killing his own sheep, he looked for another man who only had one single little lamb. And he stole that lamb from that man, and he slaughtered it, and he used that lamb to give to these other men so that that person was left with nothing." King David was enraged. How could someone do that? And Nathan points his finger at David and says, "You are the man." Sometimes when you're not listening to that inner voice, or you choose to ignore the light that flashes on the dashboard of your spiritual life, God will get your attention other ways. If you don't listen inside, God can raise prophets from the outside. God has ways of getting your attention. Sometimes it's through the voice of a friend. Sometimes it's through evidence that leaks out. Sometimes it's through some consequence that pops up in your life that forces you to deal with the issues. Sometimes God has a way of somehow rattling our cage to let us know you cannot get away with the consequences of disobedience. You have to deal with the issues. The Bible says that finally David, caught speechless, said to Nathan the prophet, "I have sinned." Well, yeah. Not only should you never underestimate the snowball effect of hidden sin. You see, some of you may think you're just opening a small door, but I want to tell you, with one door a lot of stuff can go through one door. And you may think it's a little issue. Little issues turn into big issues. Now, the fourth thing I want you to understand is that we should never underestimate the consequences of disobedience either. You see, there's a difference between forgiveness. The Bible says that David said, I have sinned, and he truly was repentant before God. And Nathan the prophet says, God has forgiven you. But he said, but the sword will be on your household. Your son will sleep with your wives. There will be tragedy in your house. You see, some of you think we can sin and just say, oh God, please forgive me, and that it's all done. But I want you to know that God will forgive you and can forgive you, but there's still consequences to our sin. Oh yeah, you can murder someone, and God can forgive you. Even murder can be forgiven. But that doesn't mean that you won't have to serve 30 years in prison. Well, Pastor, I fell with this boyfriend. We got sexually involved, you know, but I've asked forgiveness, so it's done with. Yeah, it's done with. But you know that sexually transmitted disease that you have now, that one day you'll have to explain to your husband how you got it, will be a thorn and an issue in your life. I know you treated your wife pretty poorly for quite a few years, and you've asked God for forgiveness, and she's forgiven you, but here's the thing. The journey to restore trust in your marriage is a long journey. That doesn't happen overnight. Oh, I know you've asked your teenage kid to forgive you because you lived crazy and wild and were abusive in your language and so forth. And he said he forgives you, and God has forgiven you. But you know what? The scar that's left in his soul that leads him to rebellion later in life and that surfaces in his soul, hey, those are some of the consequences of our life. Oh, I know you've cried out to God and asked for forgiveness for the way that you were gambling your money and using it, but that $30,000 debt that you have now, God has forgiven you, but it still puts stress on your marriage and puts stress on your family, and it's our consequences of our past. You see, God can forgive you spiritually immediately, but it doesn't erase the consequences of disobedience. Some of you are not experiencing the lack of forgiveness. You're just wrestling with the consequences. David, the consequences, his baby died. He cried out to God, but the baby still died. He lived with guilt. His son Absalom did a coup on the kingdom. He had six of his wives living in a house. And Absalom went in and slept with all six of his wives to his father's shame, his own son. David had to leave the throne, his head down, covered as people insulted him. Consequences of his sin. God did forgive him. And God did restore him. But the journey back was painful. Last point. You should never underestimate the power of repentance and restoration. Here's what I want you to understand. I want you to hear me well. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter how long you've been there, no matter how deep you've gotten into whatever you've gotten into, there is a place for turnaround and change. God can forgive and restore and change and wash no matter what your past is. I want you to know that. Listen, if your past is bigger than the blood of Jesus, then your past is bigger than the grace of God, and there is no such thing. No such thing. I want you to know that. I want you to know that God can forgive, that God can restore. You may be here this morning full of shame and guilt over how you've lived or what's happened in your past. And I want to say that God can wash and cleanse and forgive and restore. God can take the darkest of sins. God can take the multitude, no matter where you've been or how long you've been there or what has happened in your life. God has the power to wash your slate clean. That is how God works. He makes all things new. That's the way God works. There is no one here beyond God's power to change. No one. And if you're here today saying, well, you don't know where I've been, Pastor Mark, if you only knew, I doubt you'd want me in this church. Listen, I don't know. And listen, spare me the gory details. But I do know this, that it's not bigger than God's power. I'm not saying it will be easy. Because the deeper you've gone, the more you're going to love, but the longer the journey to restoration. And some of you get cleansed by God, but then the journey to wholeness and freedom and the journey out seems like it's a long journey. God has a lot of repairing to do in your life. If you're willing to stick it out, He can restore everything that the Old Testament says, He can restore all that the locusts have eaten. He can restore it back to your life. As long as David kept his sin hidden, he says, when I kept silent about my sin, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. That's Psalms 32:3. He says, there's something about sin that's kept hidden that doesn't allow us to heal. There's a place and a time where we need to confess our sins to God, and there's a place and a time where we need to confess our sins to others so they can pray for us. Now, I want you to notice the difference. When we confess our sins to God, it's Jesus who forgives us. When we confess our sins to others, it initiates the journey to healing. It is not others that forgive us or absolve us. It's God who does that. But it's others that pray for us so that we can initiate the journey to healing. Maybe you've been stuck in the foyer of Christianity. I want to challenge you this morning to realize and recognize that God is calling you to go to the hard places in your life, to deal with it, to come clean, and to move on with God. So maybe you've heard this message and you're thinking, Mark, I have some issues I need to deal with. And I often say God cannot heal what we conceal. We have to bring it to the light. We have to expose it. And if you're listening and you say, I've been hiding some things, I've been keeping some things that I have not brought to the light, but I know I need to bring it to the light. Right. I want to challenge you now. Now's the time. Now's the moment. If you're in your car driving, if you're at the kitchen sink washing dishes, if you're here, wherever you're at hearing this program, can you pause right now and just say, God, I'm ready. I need to deal with this in my life. In fact, let me pray with you right now. Father, I pray. We've heard your words. We've seen the consequence of undealt with sin, how it can sabotage our life, our destiny, our spiritual walk. I pray, Jesus, even right now, that you would give us the grace to repent, the grace to expose it to the light, and Father, the grace to take steps of obedience that lead to change. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace. Amen.
Amen, Mark. Thank you for this message. We hope today's study of the life of King David is a good challenge for you to be able to recognize the spiritual warning lights in your life. And as you know, these daily Bible messages are made possible in part by generous listeners who support us every month. We call them Bold Partners. And you could become a Bold Partner today by signing up online at boldstepsradio.org. Or if you prefer to speak with one of our friendly staff members, just give us a call. The number is 800-DL-MOODY. That's 800-356-6639. And when you give monthly as a Bold Partner or just a one-time gift, we'll send you a copy of our brand new Bold Step gift. In a world full of noise, sometimes the most important voice is the one we can't seem to hear, and that's the voice of God. But if we want to discern truth from lies and gain spiritual strength to take victory in our trials, we need God's voice to be paramount in our lives. For that reason, we're excited to offer you a book titled The Loudest Roar, Living in the Unshakable Victory of Christ. The It's packed with practical tips, inspiring stories, and powerful prayers. It will help you push aside the distractions of life to better hear the voice of God through any season and in the face of any trial. Step into the victorious power that God alone provides by requesting your copy of this unique Bold Step gift. We'll send you a copy when you give your donation to Bold Steps at boldstepsradio.org. Or give us a call. The number one more time is 800-356-6639. And you can even send your check in the mail. Just be sure to include your request for a Bold Step gift when you write to us at Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. And one final reminder, if you haven't already, subscribe to our podcast channel and get each of these daily messages downloaded automatically to your phone or mobile device. Whether you prefer Apple, Spotify, or any other podcast app, you'll find us by searching for Bold Steps with Dr. Mark Jobe. Like our page and leave a comment to let us know you're listening, and then share some of your favorite messages with friends and family. I'm Wayne Shepherd. We'll see you again next time when we continue this series called Deeper Beyond Shallow Spirituality. That's coming up Friday on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.